music is a big prayer.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
I don't think the others are. Maybe they are. Steph, are you there?
Yep, I'm alive.
Awesome, you're not a zombie?
No, not that I know of.
Ah. You might be one of those crafty, thinking, talking zombies, but whatever.
That'd be pretty cool, sadly I'm not.
We don't discriminate against the living dead here at Project G Forum, so it's all cool.
They're our favorites.
Yeah. Speaking of, Walking Dead just got over.
Yep.
It was a good episode.
To be honest, I have not been watching that.
Yeah, neither have I. I feel bad for it.
Oh, this is someone who I think is new to the podcast. He's known as Darth Teabagger on the forums.
I most definitely am new and finally getting to experience it firsthand.
You're gonna hate it.
Oh, well, that's a warm welcome.
In about 15 minutes, you're going to sit there and be like, oh god, why did I do this?
Wow, thanks, Steph. For the record, it was Steph who is the main driver for this episode, I have to point out.
Alright.
Yeah, we got a lot of shit going on.
That is also true.
Yeah, compared to last time.
Yes. Last time it was just me and Stealth, and we didn't really have a lot to talk about.
Because nothing happened.
Yeah.
And a week later.
So, Steph, why don't you tell us about all these amazing things that have been happening?
Amazing things?
Yes. I assume they're amazing things.
Well, for starters, I've officially got my PAX press pass.
Right.
So, I've got access to all the press stuff going on right now and the press website. So, probably within the next 3 weeks or so, keep an eye out for either a thread or updates on my blog that I never really do anything with. I will be tracking my whimsical adventure to New York and Boston there, where I'll be posting updates and pictures and letting you guys know what I'm experiencing, because I do get in an hour before everyone else on Friday morning. And there is some dinners and exhibitions that I've been invited to that I don't think are open to the general public.
That's cool.
Okay, so two things. There will be a thread about Project G Forum at PAX. I think it will go up later tonight. Depends on how lazy and tired I am. But it's not always the case. Second thing... What was I going to say? I did have something to say. I'll think of it in a second. But yeah. I'm also going to PAX because I just ordered my three tickets individually because they sold out of the 3-day passes, which sucks. But whatever. I'm used to that by now. Anybody else going? Yes?
I want to.
I can't say that I am. I would like to go, but I just don't have the time or the money for it.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go if I wasn't, like, right here in Boston. But... I am. So, I'm good.
I'd kind of like to go to PAX Prime in the fall, because that's, like, their bigger one, and there's more bigger names that attend it. Mm-hmm. But there's talks of us trying to go to one of the Comic Cons this year, probably the New York one, just because our publisher's in New York. It'd be a little bit easier to get to and a little cheaper. And then we're trying to get into E3, because I think Royal Flush went to E3 a couple years ago. But I don't know how that's going to work out. So I think PAX Prime's going to be passed over in attempts to get something better.
Hmm. I remember what I was going to ask. Your adventures are going to be posted to Boondoggle or your Destructoid blog?
Well, there's, of course, going to be... the main one is going to be on Boreal Flesh's website, of course, like our main articles and stuff. As for any personal things, especially regarding the road trip I'm taking to get up there, and anything crazy that happens, it'll be on Boondoggle, and of course, it'll be on Twitter as well. And eventually, I'll get everything settled for a blog at on Destructoid, because I'm hoping to meet up with a couple of the people from there as well at some point during PAX.
That's quite cool. A few sources, then.
You what?
People.
So, how many articles are you going to be writing about whatever?
It really depends, just on what all we can get to, what all we get to experience, and what the other writer is going to be doing.
Right. Because it sounded like, you get to choose which places you're, which, talks you're interested in going to.
Yeah, it's pretty much just kind of an open weekend for the two of us. There's really, at least at the moment, there's nothing specific that we need to do. You know, we don't have a panel or a booth or anything that we need to run. So it's more or less just getting out there and experiencing the floor, trying some stuff out to write some previews, maybe some reviews, just kind of get some insight into the industry and just get ourselves a little more knowledge.
Do you have anything specifically that you're looking forward to possibly looking into?
Well, I know that most of my Sunday is going to be dedicated to the X-Flight panel. I think the gates open at 10, but the actual panel doesn't start till 12. But there's rumors going around that Adam, Morgan, I think maybe Kevin, I'm not sure, and some other people might be lingering around there. So I'm definitely going to be spending most of my time around there Sunday morning to try and meet with them. Just because Adam and Morgan were my original inspiration to get into journalism. So I think it'd be pretty cool to be able to shake their hands and maybe get my X-Play book signed and be cool like Spooey. Other than that, there's really nothing specifically that I've seen that I feel, oh, I definitely need to go to that. There's a couple interesting panels that if I can get to them, cool. But if I'm in line to play something that I want to play, I'll probably just play it over going and seeing the panel. Other than any of the Penny Arcade stuff, I mean, obviously, need to go to that.
Yeah, I haven't figured out which I'm going to yet. I'll basically be counting on you to be my guide, Steph. Basically.
Yeah, just, you've got ways to contact me. I'll keep in touch with you the best I can. I can't promise that I'll be with you the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Just because if there is something that is press-related that I have to go to, I have to go to it. But other than that, like, especially on the floor, on the show floor, it shouldn't be a problem. I can't see my other writer being like, oh, ha, ha, no, he can't tag along with us. Nor do I see us spend the whole time together. Yeah. Just because we can cover more of the floor and play more separated.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it sounds like they're only sending two people there, right? So, is it going to be, how do I word this? Is it going to be like a big PAX blowout feature or whatever, or is it just going to be like a side thing? Or?
Well, the website itself is kind of still in development, so to say. There's not a whole lot that gets updated. The main thing that Royal Flush is known for is their music festival that happens every fall in New York City, and their annual big, thick, like, pop culture magazine. The website was just recently started, maybe within the past 2 years, I think it was, maybe three, to try and build more popularity and get more traffic to their festivals and, you know, sell issues and stuff. So definitely with us updating constantly, we're going to kind of accidentally take over the front page, but there isn't going to be like a specific section for PAX.
So it definitely sounds like they're mainly a music organization and they're just kind of doing this on the side.
Yeah. Yeah. They're more or less known for music and movies. But they recently, with how popular gaming has become and the fact that, you know, there's all these bands now that are video game themed and all these video game related movies, so on and so forth, they decided to branch a little bit more into this hobby to just widen their audience. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of new. This is the, as far as I know, this is the biggest that their gaming section, their game writers have been since their creation. So hopefully that means some cool stuff for us in the future.
That is cool. Yeah, PAX should be awesome. Speaking of PAX, I told Steph this, but I'm also going to be giving away exclusive PAX t-shirts, Project G-Form themed, at PAX. So if you show up there, you get another free t-shirt. If nobody but me and Steph shows up, then I'll basically be handing them out to random people. But Steph's like, oh, you should check to make sure that's okay. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's some sort of policy or something regarding unauthorized distribution of products, but at the same time, if you're doing it on a very small scale under the table, it might not even get noticed. Yeah.
Or if you stand outside of the event, potentially.
Yeah, on like
we'll just
street.
Run down the sales floor and just start throwing them out at people. It'll be like Oprah. You get a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You get a t-shirt. You get a t-shirt.
I gotta make
people
some business cards too. Speaking of t-shirts, seems people have taken a liking to that idea of me giving out free t-shirts to everybody on the forum, which is good. I didn't anticipate any kind of backlash, but it's nice to know that people like it, I guess.
To be honest, I was a bit surprised. Usually you have to pay quite a big amount of money to get t-shirts for websites, at least another one that I go to quite often. I had to pay like $30 for that t-shirt because he didn't have very much of them made, so it's nice to be able to get a free one.
Yeah, they're not cheap t-shirts. In fact, I think they're more expensive than the one I used for Stealth Shirt way, way back when I did the first G-Form streams, and I made a t-shirt for him as like a contest prize. That was Uber Print, but this is Printfection, and their prices are a little higher, I think. But they have more options, so...
Like women's sizes, which is very important to me.
Women's sizes. You'll just have like it like riding up above your belly button. You know, who cares about that?
Yeah.
Darth, what's going on with you so far?
Not a whole bunch really lately. I've been doing a lot of school. And then the small amount of windows that I have in between projects and homework, I've been playing a lot of League of Legends. But otherwise, I mean, not a whole lot going on in the gaming world for me. I was a little bit excited about seeing some new Diablo 3 stuff a couple days ago, but otherwise I haven't really seen too much that's caught my attention.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, you got a microphone, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I need to buy, like, a webcam. I keep forgetting to.
But, just get yourself a new laptop with a webcam built in. That's what mine has.
I have a netbook with it built in, which is what I use for the 25th episode video cast. But that, I want, like, one for my desktop PC.
Okay.
I'm replacing my desktop PC pretty soon for a super more powerful one.
You're going to start gaming a little bit on your PC?
Yeah. A little Steam, mostly Dolphin, you know. Can't really get away from that. I've just seen too many screenshots. I know too much. And I can't, you know, it's hard to go back to the actual console itself.
This is big news.
What's that?
This is really big news coming from you. I won't get into that controversy.
Well, it's just, it's 5 years after the Wii came out. My standards for graphical fidelity has been raised a little bit. And Dolphin's easy to do. And all you need is a powerful PC to run it, so I don't see any drawbacks.
There are a couple. For instance, Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door. I'm almost to the first, I guess, dungeon in that game. And every time I walk into a certain room, it goes to a memory error and crashes. And I haven't been able to beat it for years simply because even with the newer revisions, it still has errors like that. And there's just little things in some games where you might have to spend, you know, an hour or two trying to figure out how to fix it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not for beginners, you know, technical illiterates. And it doesn't work for every game, of course. If it did, if it was easy, if it worked for every game, then I would just say Nintendo needs to build it into the Wii U, but, you know, they need to have per-game profiles, and they need to futz around, and even then, it's not a guaranteed thing. So, you know, I guess upscaling is the most we could hope for with Wii U.
Didn't they say it was supposed to be, like, as powerful as the PS3?
A little bit more.
I think, they're pushing for a little bit more.
Probably PS4 and 720 or whatever will be more powerful, but that's kind of a given. Joel is on, who you may remember from the forums as... Not TV Man, that's his G4 name. Tessarge, that's his G4.
Alright, yeah, I know him.
Let me invite him. Or see if he's on for the GCast. Or if he's one of those people like Chad, who's technically on a lot of the time, but he's not actually on for the GCast when we start recording it. Okay.
He's the Apple man, isn't he?
No, I don't think so. Spooey's the Apple person.
Hello.
Actually, you mean Chad?
Yeah, he's talking about Chad.
Yes.
Yeah, Chad's kind of an Apple tard.
Andrex, did you get your new droid?
I futzed around with Verizon at the Verizon store today because I have no credit, apparently, and that's a bad thing as opposed to having bad credit, I guess.
And guess what? You're not going to get credit. Yeah. It's hard to get.
Well, actually, they made me put a $400 deposit down, and that will actually build my credit, which is a little insane, but I'm going to get that money back in a year, so... It's not,
dude, what the fuck?
Wow. So bad. But yeah, I just got my debit card, and like that was the first thing I ordered, and it's like, oh, you can't do it. And so I was like, listen, bitches, I want this freaking phone. You're gonna give me it, and I don't care what I have to pay, which is probably the wrong thing to say to people in a Verizon store. But it should be on its way. I have to like double check with Amazon, but. I should be able to get it this week because I ordered it online because Amazon was like $200 cheaper. It's crazy.
It's pretty cool.
What
I got mine for my upgrade.
The Galaxy Nexus.
Oh, nice.
The third Google phone. Yeah.
I want to get a droid when my contract runs out in April because I've still got a Samsung Gravity 2. So it's old as hell.
I recommend the Droid 4. That's what I got. It's the one that's got the slide-out keyboard, and I actually really like that. Like, the other writer and I were talking about it, because he's got the same phone, and we're both really stoked to take it to PAX, like, to the point to where I might not even take my laptop, just because I can pop open Google Docs with this and with my keyboard. It's going to be so much easier than typing than on a touchscreen.
Google Docs. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, man, we're high tech.
I've used a few phones with slide-out keyboards. I didn't like them all that much. As compared to a touchscreen, I mean.
This is actually really nice. It's sleek, it's thin, it's not big or bulky. I am really impressed with this. The Droid 4. And the cool thing is it has a light that changes colors depending on what is sent to you. It turns green if I get something from Gmail. It turns purple if I get something from Yahoo. It's cool.
Yahoo.
Red. Cool. Red if there's an alert, like something bad from like weather or some shit, which I've gotten before.
Is the Droid 4 4G? Because, like, Boston is coded in 4G, and 4G
is,
like, faster than most people's internet, like, actual internet.
Yep, it is.
It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna be, like, geeking out to phones at PAX. We'll be like, oh, man, I can do this, you can do that.
You gotta get Magic cards. That's apparently what people do online. They play Magic.
Really?
Yeah. A friend of mine, he went to PAX Prime last fall, and he's like, I can't tell you how many people I saw playing Magic. Like, he went out and bought a couple starter decks to take with him on the trip. Because you're in line for, like, 2-3 hours, depending on what it is you're going to see or what it is you're trying to play. So, why not?
That's true. Well, I'm not much of a Magic person. I like those other two popular trading card games a little better, Magic. I will leave you to figure out which those two are.
Solitaire?
I just play regular cards.
Yu-Gi-Oh?
Solitaire.
Playing free
solo.
You don't
have friends, Andrax, so what else do you play?
That cuts deep, Steph.
Notice that he didn't deny it, though.
I know, right?
I actually do play solitaire on the train when the internet connection is, like, really fritzy. And I'm like, fine. Fine, internet, you don't want me? I'll play freaking solitaire. I don't care. Just flip my middle finger up.
I get mad and yell at it, and a lot of the times the internet works.
Yeah, it's weird how that happens. It's like, oh, this guy's being mean to me. I guess I'll work.
The harder you throw your router across the room, the higher the chances it'll start working.
Fonzie taught me to kick things.
Joel, what's up with you? You were a little late for the podcast, I noticed.
I was trying to get some shit straightened out with Mass Effect and Mass Effect 2 for the PC. Like, I had them a while back, but for some reason when they sort of switched over to the whole Origin thing, like, I couldn't access the Cerberus network anymore, and some of my DLC wasn't working, so I had to go back and forth with emails with EA and get shit straightened out. But it's working now, so I'm happy about that.
That's a pain. Hey, I think this is a perfect opportunity to spoil the ending for Stealth Master.
No, please don't.
Wait, of the third one or the second
one? The third one.
Oh, okay.
I've heard a couple supposedly official endings from around the internet. I don't know which is true, though. I've heard of at least two of them.
The one
I've been avoiding it all, so...
The one Ryan linked
Andrex,
in the chat
shut the fuck up.
Is wow. Worthy in every sense of the word. Well, maybe not the good sense of the word. Wow as bad worthy.
All of them have been wow, this is bad worthy. The writer doesn't know how to write.
Hey, they're better than the official books, apparently.
Dude, the
you
books
mean the
and
book
comics for that are so terrible. I tried to read one of the comics and I was just like, this was written by an autistic 4-year-old. Like, what the fuck? What is this person thinking?
I heard there was just, like, a bunch of inconsistencies or something. Even Chad was complaining about it.
Yeah, well, one of the books came out, and essentially the community tore it to pieces, and now it's having to be re-released with edits included, because they just, whoever wrote it just didn't know shit about the actual lore and just made things up.
Oh, man. That's gotta suck as a writer.
So yeah, the entire series is just being treated really well, and of course, BioWare is inspiring loads of confidence, what with classic releases like Dragon Age 2.
Was Dragon Age 2 really that bad?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. One of my friends said it was alright, but he's not really a story type of person, so...
But it seems like, from a high... view, it looks to me like the same thing as Dragon Age Origins, so...
It's not.
And
didn't they change the combat system and a bunch of other stuff, though?
For
the
longest...
combat system, in terms of the way it works when you're actually in combat, is pretty similar. They changed the skill trees a bit. The thing that's weird is that they decided to change it stylistically a lot. In the first game, it was very much like... You know, a mage was just a dude in a robe with a staff who cast spells, and then the second game, everyone's wearing, like, spiky armor and flipping around like a fucking Shaolin monks, and it, like, makes no sense as compared to the first game.
Hmm.
And it's just sort of weird nonsense stylistical changes like that that make someone who played the first game look at the second game and go, what happened here? And the writing is also not very good.
I think the second game was done by a group of interns.
You see, for the longest time, I always thought that Dragon Age 1 and Origins were different games.
That's what I thought, too. Until I went to go and buy it two summers ago on Steam. Which reminds me, I bought Dragon Age Origins on Steam June of 2010, and I still haven't played it more than 20 minutes, so I should probably do that one of these times.
It's pretty good. I liked it, actually. And I didn't... It was one of those games that when it released, it sort of just flew under my radar, and I didn't really know about it, didn't really care that much. And then one of my friends was like, look, when it goes on sale, just buy the damn thing and play it. And I eventually did, and I liked it quite a bit. They made a couple of expansions for it, though, that weren't very good, but the main, like, Origins game is pretty good.
I played it on the 360. And a little bit of the PS3.
I first saw it on the 360, and I remember being really unimpressed with it. When it first came out, and I wasn't really interested, and then one of my friends picked it up later on for the PC, and it looked a lot better, so I decided to get it for that.
Yeah, the 360 version. Is there a PS3 version? I don't know. Okay, well, anyway, the console version for the 360, anyway, it doesn't look very good. It's sort of like playing it on medium to low on the PC.
Yeah, I wanted to play it on the PC, but I didn't really have a chance to, so...
Yeah, it was one of the first games I bought when I got a new gaming rig, just because it was cheap and it was there, so I said, hey, why not?
So, speaking of, how many people here have a super big backlog of games they still have to beat or finish?
Yep.
I do.
Raise your hand. Oh, wait, that won't come across well.
Let me see, I'm looking through some of the games I have. I haven't beat Limbo yet. I play that game like 20 minutes at a time. I'm sure it's not very long, I just haven't gotten through it. I haven't beat Portal 2 yet. I haven't
beat
Assassin's Creed Revelations yet. I actually just barely started that one. But for the most part, I've played through most of the games I have. Those are really the only ones that I haven't finished at the moment.
Yeah, I really feel like getting a better computer and using Steam, my backlog is just going to rise up and kill me many times.
If you are a compulsive game buyer, that will absolutely happen.
It's so awful.
Just wait till Steam sales and you get the Steam app on your
phone. Yeah, summer and Christmas, like, Jesus Christ. There are so many games that you just are like, okay, I don't even want that, but it's 99 cents, I have to buy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. And now I also have a new debit card, which I was saying. So now I can buy stuff online.
You didn't have a debit card before?
No, I just got it Friday.
Did you, like, just open a bank account for the first time or something?
Yes. Well, I opened it, like, 2 weeks ago. That is why I am buying all these t-shirts. All
and that would be why you have no credit?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be why.
Welcome to adulthood. You're going to hate it.
It blows.
Hey, if I can buy stuff online, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, it's pretty useful.
Before, I would always have to go through my mom. Now I don't.
Aww.
That makes you feel like having to say, Mom, can you buy this game for me? I'll pay you back later.
That's what used to happen. But this is the new world. It's a brave new world.
The world where you have to spend $400 on a deposit for a phone because you have no credit.
I'm going to get that money back, okay? So
I got a new phone a month ago, but I didn't have the money to spend on a nice phone, so I just got the iPhone 3GS, which is definitely way better than the phone I had before. I'm overall happy with it just because I had such a shit phone before it, but it doesn't do some of the cool things that some of the other ones that are out now do.
Like the Droid 4 and the Galaxy Nexus. High five, Steph.
Yeah, sure. I'm not too much of a phone person, so I can't remember them by name, but I've messed around with them and they're pretty cool.
Steph and I are like phone fanboys.
I wasn't before. Like, before, I didn't really care if I had the internet or anything on my phone, because the only time I was away from the internet was at work. Mm-hmm. You know, the time that I shouldn't be on the internet. But now, since getting the writing job, and, like, now that half the people I know are across the country, it's going to be good in the long run.
Yep. And you can tether, so if you have, like, if you bring your laptop, you can basically go on the internet everywhere you have a connection.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that you have to jailbreak an iPhone to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can
the jailbreaking thing.
You can do it on Android, but you have to use a USB cable. But if you root it, you can do it wirelessly.
Yeah, are you guys planning on rooting yours, or are you just going to leave it stock?
Mine's already tethered. There's a program you can get. It's like $10 for the pro version. Otherwise, there's a light one that's free. And that allows you to hook it up with a USB a USB cord.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. I don't know if I'm going to root. I think I'll stick with official for a while.
Yeah, the tethering's all I really need. Because the only wireless thing I have would be, like, my handhelds.
But Vita has 3G built in, which is actually one of the more positive things I like about it. But then
but
it
doesn't that
AT&T.
Require its own subscription plan?
Yeah, you have to
you
have
do.
A plan through AT&T.
Wait, okay, so if it's a plan through AT&T and AT&T is already your phone carrier, do you just use it in conjunction with your phone contract, or is it still a separate contract?
I don't know.
As far as I've gotten the impression based on my customer base, it's additional.
That's kind of lame.
So, honestly, just go with a Wi-Fi one, because there's so many places that exist already with free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, like my work. I work in a hospital, free wireless. I actually, like, my data plan that I have is a pretty decent one, but I don't use any of it because a lot of the time when I'm using my phone is at work, and I just use the wireless network, so I don't eat through anything.
I think if I get myself a Droid when my next contract runs out, I'm just not even going to get a data plan because I'm never anywhere that doesn't have Wi-Fi, so it'd be kind of a waste.
Depending on your carrier, they might require it. Like, I know when I got mine, I had to have...
Yeah, most smartphones, you have to get a data plan.
Really? Well, I'll just get the cheapest one then.
Yeah, but also at the same time, that was the same time that Verizon was running this special where you got twice the amount of data for the same price. So I was able to get a pretty decent amount of data for really low.
Yeah, as far as I know, through AT&T, every smartphone requires a data plan. You can't just get a phone.
Yeah, right now I've got T-Mobile, and I think we're switching to Verizon in April, so just have to see.
Which one are you switching to?
Verizon.
Verizon's pretty good. Right, Steph?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with them.
Be better than T-Mobile. I get terrible coverage in my house and pretty much everywhere that I go. All my friends have so much better service than me, especially at my college. I pretty much get zero service in any of the buildings, so kind of sucks.
I get a discount, so.
You and your discount, Steph.
That's pretty much the only reason why I signed up for Verizon. And then I'm like, oh, this is actually good service.
I don't really have many complaints about AT&T's service for their phones, but their internet, which I have at the moment, fucking blows. I don't like it.
Yeah. I have cable internet through, like, Comcast, and...
That's what I had before. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's good most of the time, but since I'm in an apartment building, like... Right around, like, 8 until now, like, it slows to a crawl. Although I think that might only because my roommate's girlfriend was over and she was using it a lot, so... I mean, it's fine right now. I haven't noticed it being slow, so... Might have been just been her.
I never noticed any dip in speed when I had Comcast, but... This internet that I have here is just not that great in general. You can do any one thing, no problem, but it's when you try and start doing a bunch of things at once that it's... All of a sudden, slow.
That's always the suckiness. My vocab isn't really that great tonight. So.
So?
Awkward transition.
Alright, so new topic. Okay. I've got something being made, especially for me, and I'm happy about it.
Alright, time to end the podcast.
Well.
No, it's actually.
Wait, what's this now?
I'm having something specially made for me as we speak. Hopefully. I haven't heard back from the person since Friday.
Yeah, your t-shirt.
Well, other than that.
See, that's what I was thinking.
Something I'm paying for. It's a lot of money.
Oh. Is it your Gears of War gun thing?
No, I already have that. This is probably the most expensive, like, thing that hasn't been an electronic that I bought myself. I'm getting a custom-made Tom Baker scarf necklace done.
I don't know what that is. Oh,
the Fourth Doctor?
Oh, yeah.
Let me see if I can get you guys a picture of what it looks like.
Yeah, do that. Is it really that expensive for a scarf?
Well, it's not a scarf, it's a necklace. Here we go. This is the picture of the person who's making it for me. Basically, what it is it's the scarf pattern, like the color pattern and everything, but much thinner.
Hmm.
Kind of like a, I guess.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what you would consider it.
It's like a necklace.
It's like a measuring tape, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's lightweight. You can wear it pretty much any time during the year, especially here in South Carolina. Even in the winter, there's not much of a reason for me to have a scarf. But it's nice and small. It'll go nice with things, but yet still be very geeky.
Hmm.
So I don't have that exact one being made. She let me pick out whatever season I wanted, so I picked season 13.
So it's being made custom for you?
Yes, yes. I contacted the person who made that, asked if she was selling them. She said she really didn't have plans to, but accepted my offer for a personal commission. And then I got a little bit of a discount on it because I offered to advertise it by, you know, writing about it whenever I get it and then wearing it at PAX.
Hmm. So it's like the t-shirt then, except you're paying for it.
Yes, paying quite a bit for it.
So,
but I think it's worth it.
But you're paying to advertise for them. That doesn't compute to me.
Well, I got $100 off of it, basically.
You got $100.
$100 for that thing? I guess I shouldn't lecture you since I bought some really stupid stuff recently too. So.
Well, the wiring that's done with it is silver, and like and like a pack of 12 of the beaded material that she uses starts off, like the cheapest that you can get is like $4, and there's a couple thousand of them, and multiple colors and multiple types of metals and stuff to get the different color scheme. So I mean, the thing itself is going to cost probably about 3 or 4 times more than I'm actually paying.
Hmm.
Wow.
But there's only like a handful of them that she's created, so I feel kind of special.
Hmm. I also, speaking of, I just bought a one of those toy replica sonic screwdrivers of the 11th Doctor.
God damn it!
I'll bring it to PAX. I'll let you mess around with it because it's clearly the superior sonic screwdriver.
I have to get Tenet's then by PAX.
Yeah.
And then we'll run around and we'll be doctors.
There's no girl doctors. You can't be a doctor.
I don't want to be River Song. Well actually, there have been female.
You'll be Amy.
Lords. No, fuck that. Fuck that.
Does anyone here besides Steph and me actually watch Doctor Who?
I saw 20 minutes of it.
I have a friend that religiously watches it, but I've never seen it.
You're missing out on a great
good.
Show.
I'd watch it.
Yeah. Well, why don't you stealth?
I don't know what times it comes on, and when it came on, I was lucky enough to watch any of it at all.
You watch junk like Breaking Bad, but you can't watch Doctor Who. What kind
Whoa, are we calling Breaking Bad junk now? All right, that's crossing the line, Sonny. You got to take that back.
Isn't it just like... I don't know. I was just making a joke.
Breaking Bad's one of those many, many shows that I have in my giant, huge backlog of stuff I need to see. Like, I need to see House. I never watched House. I need to see Dexter and Bones. I never watched any of those.
When it comes to House, once you've seen one season, you've seen all of them. There's not a whole lot of variation.
Pretty much. I've only watched, like, 3 episodes of it, and they've all basically
It's not a bad show by any means. I've seen quite a lot of it, but it's not one of those, like, I have to find out what happens this week, you know, because it's just an episodic format. There are very few lengthy plot threads. It's mostly just one episode is completely disconnected from the next.
It's kind of... Doctor Who's kind of like that. I mean, there's a couple episodes that definitely are tied together, and there's a lot of reoccurring themes and references to stuff, but each episode's kind of like its own separate adventure. Most plot stories don't last more than 2 episodes.
Yeah. I think the 5th season had a lot of great one-shot episodes, and 2-shot episodes, too. Like The Creeping Earth, I think it's called, or something like that. And the Da Vinci one. The Da Vinci one is my favorite episode of the entire series.
That one was really good. Like, the only problem I had with quite a few of the episodes in the last one is they felt like there was more to tell to the story, but not enough for another episode. Like, one thing, especially after watching all of Sherlock that I've kind of picked up on, is Moffat is really good at writing hour-and-a-half-long things. It's like, I can't remember the name of the episode at the top of my head, but it's the one where Dr. Amy and Rory get separated, and Rory and Amy get sucked into the dollhouse, and the kid's cupboard, and the doctor's, like, talking to the kid. Like, the way that ended felt too abrupt for the way that the episode started. Yeah. It felt like there was more they could have done, but, like, oh, shit, we're almost to 60 minutes. We gotta end this now.
Yeah. For the 6th season, I think that's definitely the case. It really kind of suffered from, like, unfocused direction, I think I would call it. The only one I thought was kind of really well done, although I think I'm forgetting a couple episodes, is the belief and faith episode or whatever, where they're in, like, that hotel. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I kind of remember that one.
With the Minotaur running around?
Yeah, I kind of vaguely remember that one.
That was a good one. But then again, like, the finale of season 6 was one episode. I mean, that was kind of a slap in the face, I thought.
And the way that the whole season ended, like, I had to watch it twice to kind of figure out what the fuck was going on. It felt way too Deus Ex Machinima. Like, you were not going to explain anything because time travel. But wait, how to shut the fuck up? Time travel. Alternate dimension. But this doesn't make shut the hell up.
Yeah. Yeah, the finale, I didn't think was that great. Especially after season 5 had such a great finale, I thought.
I was really, really impressed with the Christmas episode.
Yeah, the Christmas episode was really good.
Like, that was the first episode, I think, that I've seen in the past maybe 2 years that I'm like, I don't have anything bad to say about this.
Yeah, I'm the same. Well, I like a lot of other episodes, too. The first 2 episodes of season 6 were really good, I thought. Well, I think the second one kind of suffered a little bit, but the first one was good.
I just felt there was too many of the wrong reoccurring themes and not enough of the right ones. Like, there was a lot of traits that have kind of been trickled throughout the Doctors that I felt were kind of forgotten with 11th.
Well, they're probably forgotten with 9 and 10, too. I mean, you can't roll it all into one.
No, 10 had 10 was very Tom Bakery, which is part of the reason why I think I do favor Tennant over Chris. I can never remember his last name, and I feel bad, because he wasn't a bad
Eccleston,
doctor.
Yeah. I think it's called.
Yeah. Yeah, 9 actually wasn't bad. The episodes were kind of cheesy, but overall, he was a pretty decent doctor.
Yeah, I still have to catch up on most of his episodes. I probably won't ever really go back to, like, the super old ones.
I want to see them all. I feel like I need to. I have...
You're
a
super
really
fan.
I have a really hard time discussing my favorite doctor because I haven't seen all of them. I watched the first, like, the very first arc, which was The Unearthly Child, and I've seen all of the episodes that are on Netflix for Tom Baker, and I've seen Sullivan's stuff, which I think is number 7 or 8, and I want to say I've seen a little bit of 6. Like, I can picture him, but I don't remember who the actor was. I've just seen whatever's been available on Netflix, but I do want to eventually find a way to get a hold of all of them and watch all 50 years.
You're crazy. I thought you were going to do that, like, last summer.
I haven't had an opportunity to obtain everything. It's really hard finding the original stuff here in America without spending a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Like, even the newer stuff.
Yeah, it's like $60 for, like, what, 12 episodes or something?
Like, I was at the mall the other day. Yeah, I was at the mall the other day just kind of bored, and they had the first season of Sherlock there, which came out about a year ago here in the States, for $40. I got both seasons imported for less than that. But I can't watch them.
I think we're boring the rest of the podcast crew with our obsessive BBC talk.
That's Wait, what were you guys talking about?
Sexy British men. That's what.
I was not talking about that, for the record.
I was.
We all know
awful defensive
that's
there, Chief. Awful defensive.
It's because Steph just swings the conversations wildly around without care or reason.
Nope, I don't give a fuck about you guys.
I don't know, there was something about Doctor Who, and then I was like, yeah, I don't watch that, and then I sort of stopped paying attention. Are we still talking about that, though?
Well, then you are developing very good traits for marriage. You will make some lady very mad one day. Congratulations.
I already do.
I've heard most of it. Awkward silence.
Wait, what did you watch, Stealth?
Huh?
Stealth pays attention.
Wait,
Stealth
see, now there's
us.
Now there's some kind of lack of communication going on, I feel.
Yes, it happens quite often, unfortunately. Of course, I'm also kind of tired out of my mind right now, but that's kind of part of the course for podcasts, it seems.
That's why you take naps. I kind of live off a nap.
I had to take the train home today, so...
Best thing about my job, get to take a nap every day for 2 hours.
That's fucking awesome.
That is cool.
Because I don't work in a small space, and my boss doesn't really care what else goes on as long as my work is done at the end of the day, I basically work for 3 hours and spend the other 5 just kind of doing whatever I want.
Sounds like a good
sweet
deal.
My pay is shitty, but at least it's an easy job, so.
Yeah, you can't really complain. I can't really complain because it's kind of a mentally taxing job, but I enjoy doing it and I get paid well, so.
I'm not going to talk about my job.
you're president of
GameStop. Being the CEO is hard.
Yeah, CEO.
Sure.
I actually lost track of the time. I can't believe it's this late already.
It's not really late.
Shut up, Stealth.
Yeah, it's only 8 o'clock. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's only 8 here.
Oh, yeah, you guys on the crappy parts of the United States.
I mean, this is the nice part where the states are big enough I can actually remember where they are on the map.
Yeah.
I hated doing...
I haven't thought about it that way before.
Yeah,
I hated doing map tests in middle school because I could never remember the East Coast because they were all so small.
Connecticut and Rhode Island. Who gives a fuck? It's all East Coast. Okay, check.
Hey. Connecticut represent.
It's all right, Andrex. That just means we're the smart side of the United States.
The intellectual.
Because we know what our states are. But then again, I'm from the Midwest, so fuck both coasts. We've got corn.
You got endless cornfields.
I would sure take that corn over awesome beaches and awesome food every day. You know, so.
Yeah, it's good living in California. I know what you mean.
Oh, man.
California's crowded,
but
though.
No, actually, Florida's got the nice beaches. California's aren't as good.
Florida is full of crazy people.
And old people.
The whole Gulf area is pretty good. Cause that's where the clean water is.
It's also where the hurricanes hit.
It was before the BP oil spill killed everything.
Did that really kill everything?
I don't know.
No, it killed quite a bit in one stretch, though.
Oh, good. I see you answered me on the forums about your t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, because I don't want to be like, no, you must change it, so.
Well, the thing is, it's kind of,
I mean, it's stupid. Free, so it's like one way or another, I don't care.
You have to make, like, a different product with a different design, but try to match it up with other designs for, like, if you want to make it, like, a male version or different type of shirt. It's stupid.
They like different fits or something?
Because the one I made,
okay, that's
custom for Kumiko.
That doesn't apply to the hoodies, though, right? Hoodies are all the same, yeah?
Yeah, there might be only one type of hoodie, yeah.
Yeah, because I haven't done the whole custom t-shirts thing before, but I have done custom hoodies, and that was all same for male and female.
Mm. Yeah. It's the t-shirt that you have to worry about, the belly button riding up because of the woman parts jutting out.
Pillowy parts.
Those mountain ranges.
It's not like you have to worry about that whatsoever still. I mean, yeah, still. You don't have to worry about that. I misspoke.
Speaking of stealth.
Yeah.
Tell us about
you
your
job,
new
right?
writing
you?
Stuff.
I'm happy.
That's all you gotta say?
that was pretty brief.
Are you like becoming a better writer?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
Well, tell us about it.
Excited?
Like what you do on reviews, editorials.
We've got happy and excited. What else?
Clap your hands.
it's just writing. Just writing. That's all I'm doing right now.
So, what specifically do you write about?
Games. That's about it.
Reviews, blogs, what?
It seems right now just a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you wrote like an opinion piece I saw. Or something.
It's not really an opinion piece. It was mostly news because I wanted to do something easy.
Ah, right, but about the Assassin's Creed thing.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, I guess we haven't talked about that. The next Assassin's Creed will be set in America during the Revolutionary War.
I want to know how Desmond's bloodline shifts from Middle Eastern to Italian to Native American.
His ancestors were whores, basically.
He's just that badass, obviously.
Who knows, man?
And I'm calling it now, since the new game takes place in America, the ancestor, and this is the last, like, supposed to be the last story for Desmond. Mm-hmm. The ancestor's gonna be voiced by no other than Nolan North, who's also gonna do Desmond to connect the two.
Yes.
See, I thought they would be, like, bringing back the shitty voice actor for Altair in the first game, because he was actually American, and this time it would fit.
That'd be crazy.
And for some reason, Nathan Drake pops in.
And also the prince from Prince of Persia.
And the guy who took an arrow in the head in God of War.
And the guy who took an arrow to the knee in Oblivion.
Shut the
Skyrim.
Fuck up!
In Oblivion?
That's what I call all the Elder Scrolls games, just It's Oblivion. It's Oblivion 5. That's what it is.
So what you're saying is you never played Morrowind?
No, but I did hear about it.
I'll be honest, people kind of overrate it. Like, it's good, but it was not the most amazing thing ever.
It's incredibly difficult, because I remember I bought it years ago for the original Xbox, and I'm not really the type of person that wants to explore, because it just feels like I'm wasting my time. And so when I would read the journal and it would tell me to go to some city and I had no idea where it was at, I just quit, because I wasn't going to take 2 hours to run around to try to find this city.
But it's open world,
man. Yeah, Morrowind was like the anti-handholding game, which made it really hard to get into for a lot of people. The first time I tried to play it, like, I gave up on it after about an hour. And then eventually I went back later and played it quite a bit. But it's... I don't know. It's a game that there's a lot to like, but it's also really flawed in a lot of ways. Like, combat and magic was based on dice rolls for the most part, which in a first-person game where you're actually, like, walking up and slashing at someone is not, like, the best idea ever.
So where do you place it, like, in relation to the two games after it?
I would say it was the one that I liked the least.
Do you like Skyrim more than Oblivion?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I like Skyrim more
than
Oblivion.
So you didn't buy it on PS3 then?
I disagree.
I bought Oblivion on 360 and I have Skyrim on PC. I also have Oblivion on PC, but I haven't played it as much. I don't know. Oblivion, the thing about Oblivion is that it was a more generic playing environment, and obviously, you know, it wasn't very interesting visually, and it had the level scaling issues that actually made it a detriment to level up rather than an advantage. Like, the game actually got more difficult the more you leveled. For instance, like, if you were to beat the game at level 1, it was incredibly easy. If you were to beat the game at level 30, it was much more difficult. And then in Skyrim, you know, they fixed a lot of that. They made everything a lot more unique and interesting. But the guild quest lines in Skyrim are super boring compared to Oblivion. They're not anywhere near as good.
Well, the companions weren't very good in Skyrim, but I was
the
not
companions
very...
Yeah, they weren't good. Yeah. The Mage's Guild was bad, or the College of Winterhold was pretty bad. The Dark Brotherhood was kind of whatever, and the Thieves Guild was probably the best, but it still wasn't that great.
Even the Fighters Guild, though, in Oblivion, I didn't like it very much, because all I remember about it was I just fought trolls forever, and trolls were incredibly hard to kill, and I absolutely hated doing the Fighters Guild at the time.
Yeah, I gotta get into one of those games someday.
I personally like Oblivion more than Skyrim.
See, I'm gonna take... Oh, okay.
I do agree that Skyrim gameplay-wise is definitely much better, and they fixed the leveling system, which badly needed to be fixed, but the overall world and, like, immersion, I got sucked into Oblivion so much easier than I did Skyrim and wasted so much time. I don't really know why. Like, I literally put over 1,000 hours between my characters in Oblivion and Skyrim. I think I hit the 24-hour mark and then just kind of didn't touch it again.
In Oblivion, I probably put in maybe 200, 300 overall. Skyrim, I'm at, let's bring it up, 203 hours at the moment. And that's across 3 different characters.
See, I'm going to have to go completely different. I only played maybe 60 hours on Oblivion. I think I've played 46 on Skyrim. But Fallout 3, I've played over 400. And I think I like Fallout 3 better than Elder Scrolls. Just the story sucked me in a lot more. And the gameplay style overall I felt was more entertaining compared to the Elder Scrolls, because I feel like I've played so many medieval games, RPG settings, that a post-apocalyptic one like Fallout 3 was kind of refreshing for me.
I really liked Fallout 3 a lot. I think the only thing that I didn't quite like about it is that it was... the environment got rather boring to me after a while. It's like, no matter where you went, which I understand perfectly the concept, you know, it's supposed to be post-apocalyptic, everything's kind of, you know, dark and grim and whatnot, but I just got bored exploring, and exploring's a big thing for me. Like, I kind of want to play Daggerfall just because of how big it is.
Well, ooh, I definitely... that's crazy.
I don't know if you want to play Daggerfall.
it's hard to get
into. I mean,
into.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit in Daggerfall, but it's not worth the pain in the ass that is playing Daggerfall.
Well, I will have to agree, not so much with Fallout 3, but Fallout New Vegas. I never even beat that one, mainly because the environment got so boring that I wasn't even excited to explore because everything was completely flat. At least with Fallout 3, there were destroyed little cities and overpasses, other things like that. But I remember New Vegas, it was pretty much just desert everywhere, and it was incredibly boring to even explore and travel between cities.
The problem that I had with New Vegas is that it was pretty much Fallout 3 with Vegas to go to. I put a lot of time into Fallout 3, so putting the same amount of time and basically an identical game, I just couldn't do.
See, neither one of those games ever appealed to me enough to actually play them. Like, I've not played Fallout 3 or New Vegas at all, and I don't really care to bother.
What the hell is this?
This is
it's a Batman dragon with pants. Why is it wearing pants?
Why does it have pants?
I think our conversations are just gonna spiral down from here. Although I will say I'm getting into comics more, and I'm doing this DC as this like thing where you can buy their comics digitally same day as they come out, and it's like $3 an issue, I think, which is probably a ripoff, but I don't really care.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you.
Sorry for what?
Comics are so silly. I just can't get into them.
I agree. I've never been into comics in my life.
Oh, me neither, but I want to get into them.
Comics is one of the things that I've always kind of been around. Like, I can remember going to a local comic shop with my dad because he was really big into them. And, like, in my early years, I remember reading some superhero and a lot of Punisher comics with him. But I never really sat down myself and got into them, which is something I kind of have always wanted to do. But I'm so picky with the type of media that I like that I've just had a hard time finding something to really follow. Like, yeah, there's all the superhero comics and stuff, but, I mean, I pretty much already know the story to most of them. You know, yeah, I can't, like, get super geeky with it like people who have read it, but also at the same time, it seems like every year they're always revamping the series and changing stuff. So,
yeah,
I just have a hard time figuring out where to even start.
That's definitely a problem. What caught my interest is the, I basically went on Wikipedia a lot just to get the background for where things are going, because the DC Universe itself is massive, you know, all these tons of characters. With the recent reboot, well, soft reboot. They didn't reboot everything, but a lot of things were consolidated. They're down to, like, 50 books they're putting out. 50. So there's, like, you know, Batman's one, Superman's one, et cetera, et cetera. But what got me interested is I've been, like, following the Batman Rest in Peace storyline, the Battle for the Cowl storyline, Batman and Son, Batman and Robin, which is actually Dick Grayson and Damian Wayne as Batman and Robin. And it just seems like they're doing a lot of interesting things with, like, the Batman mythos recently, and I kind of want to hop on board with that, personally. So that's me. Might not be for everybody. I'll bring some comics to PAX. There's got to be, like, a bunch of comic booths there, too.
Oh, yeah, there are.
So, yeah.
PAX
what
is kind of like
stand
a
for?
Penny Arcade.
Penny Arcade
Expo.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And that writing thing, I have to write at least 2 things a week.
Hmm?
2 things a week, huh?
Yeah.
Hopefully, works out well for you. Doesn't end up like
Yeah.
my
Communication
one friend
failure.
that I was talking about, where by the end of the summer he was kind of burnt out with it. So hopefully you enjoy it.
Well, for the past couple of months, I've been writing a lot, and it felt like it was just practice to what's up now.
That's good.
Yeah, writing is a great expression tool. It's good that you
Yeah.
have it.
Writing is something that I've never pursued as a thing to do in terms of a job, just because even though I'm good at it, it's not something that I like to have deadlines for and have like mandatory this and that to do. It's something that I like to do when I want to do, and then I can just drop it whenever I don't want to write.
So far, it kind of feels like as long as you do 2 times a week, that they don't really have a deadline, at least not so far.
Yeah, like journalism's something that I definitely would like to pursue. So I'm hoping that eventually at some point things kind of go elsewhere, because with journalism, you're basically just talking about news and stuff. So it's not like trying to write a novel or something, or you're forcing a creative idea to happen. You're just kind of voicing your opinion on a topic, which is something I think I could keep on top of.
As
I'm
long as there
just.
was something interesting enough to care about writing about.
Yeah, like, wait, hold on. Let me grab it.
Like, there's stuff that I want to write, and I've been thinking about writing, but at the moment I've just been too lazy to do it. But I think that's partly because I'm not really getting anything from it, that I have a hard time sitting down and thinking, oh, I'm going to spend my whole day doing this instead of doing this.
Yeah. I still need to start writing that thing that I was kind of sort of vague about a couple episodes ago, maybe. But that should be coming, happening soon. Maybe. I don't know. I like to throw vagaries onto vagaries, if you hadn't noticed. Sounds like.
I need to work on Project Baskerville.
Right,
I
yeah.
haven't really touched it. Despite the fact that there's been stuff going on in the news right now regarding the topic, and I've got opinions about it, I just haven't felt like sitting down and writing it.
Yep, I wrote something, but I just have to figure out how to put the pictures in WordPress. I hadn't figured out how to do that.
Which, speaking of which, I guess we could talk about. Has anyone been paying attention to the whole esports controversy that's been going on recently?
Oh, the
What
fighting one?
esports
Yeah.
controversy?
I've heard like stuff, just
I
a
don't
little
pay
bit.
attention to the fighting game scene. I pay
Me
attention
neither.
to strategy. But what's going on?
I really haven't. I only know of it because I've heard it through the grapevine, and like a couple websites have been talking about it. But apparently, at some tournament, I don't know which one. I don't know the players involved. All I know is that one of them was a chick, and the other one was a rather stereotypical fat nerdy guy who was apparently making some ranchy comments to her throughout the whole tournament because they were on the same team,
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
and apparently those comments were being said live on a stream and are now being considered sexual harassment against the team. And that's the bit that I've picked up from it. Like, I haven't sat down and actually read everything about it because I kind of don't really care. But the one thing about it that stood out to me was the fact that stuff like that, like negative comments and harsh wording and stuff, has always been a part of the gaming community. I mean, no matter where you go, it's a sad thing. Regardless if you're playing online or with other people, trash talk is always there. So I just find it really weird that even though it's a constant thing that always happens, the fact that it has to involve a negative comment against another gender is when people actually care. So someone can say something really harsh and mean and hurtful against another guy, and everyone just be like, aw, deal with it, 'cause it's just trash talk. But, you know, God forbid you say it to a woman, and now all of a sudden it's sexual harassment?
Well, I think it's because they were specifically feminine-oriented slurs.
What's the difference? It's still an insult.
Yeah, if another guy calls another guy a faggot during an online match or at a tournament, how is that any different from a guy being like, hey, I want to grope you?
I would say they're both equally bad and should be frowned upon.
That's the sensible route to take, but we live in Western society.
Yes, we do.
I don't know. It's... silly nerd stereotypes are... I don't know. I don't get why some people act the way they do. But I also don't get why we have that sort of divide where... as soon as gender becomes involved, and specifically gender discrimination towards a woman, because the opposite nobody gives a fuck about, is such a huge deal. Whereas other forms of discrimination, I guess you could say, are just sort of whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, racial stuff, anything against religion, sexuality, stuff like that is tossed around all the time in the gaming community, and it's just kind of become, I guess, a standard to expect socially. But it just kind of bothers me that it takes a woman for it to be considered across the line, even though there's been a lot worse stuff said and have been done publicly that everyone just kind of shrugged away.
I heard about it, but didn't really follow it.
Yeah, that's just one sort of small example of a much wider social problem that isn't really being addressed, even though most people are sort of becoming aware that it does exist. But I'm not going to do the whole men's rights activism, the system is biased, etc., etc., thing. Even though I do agree with them to an extent, it's not really my soapbox.
I guess it's kind of a double standard.
Double standards, basically. In gaming? No.
Women within the gaming community want to be treated equal, but as soon as you treat them as equal, suddenly it's wrong.
Well, that's the same thing as women in the workforce or in other spheres of society. It's basically, I want to be treated the same as long as you don't take away the old privileges that I had when things were, you know, chivalrous and sacrificed for the women and what. It's basically equality when it benefits me, and then when it doesn't benefit me, it's sexism and we have to keep it away. It's sort of like having your cake and eating it too. It's basically what they're going for.
Which bothers me. Not what the guy did, but the fact that it's getting media attention.
I do think I saw a brief mention of it, but I don't really know much about the context. Other than stupid nerd said something stupid to a girl, internet white knights flip out, and it becomes a big deal.
That's pretty much the gist of it.
No one got really hurt, so.
Feelings got hurt, Stealth.
One guy might if he ends up getting sued. Feelings.
Yeah, his wallet might end up getting hurt. Yeah. That would suck. And if we're talking about standards of professional conduct, then I would assume that the tournament in question would have some sort of contract or some sort of thing that players would have to agree to upon agreeing to compete at the venue. Because otherwise there's nothing concrete that you could hold anyone to as far as standards of behavior. And then reasonably punish them for it. Like, you have to establish, you know, these are the rules, these are the lines you don't cross, and then if you cross them, you know, there may be legal recourse or financial issues or whatever, but as far as I know, there's nothing like that in, like, a gaming tournament. So all you can really say is, you know, don't do that again. I don't see how lawsuits or whatever could become a part of it.
I think we beat this topic into the ground a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we should make a thread about it, because it does seem like there's discussion to be had here. It's just...
Yeah, maybe I'll make one.
Post one of your essays, Steph. You can cross
do the long-winded post so I can type TLDR.
I'm expecting that. Like a second after it's been posted.
That kind of happens to me sometimes. If it's like late at night, I see one of your posts that's really long. I'll just read until I can understand what's happening. I'm like, I might reply now.
All right, so I think this is the official end of the podcast. Anybody have any songs they want to recommend?
Let me come up with something real quick. Okay. I will post it down in the chat box.
Ending or opening?
Let's go with opening. Right. Do you have any language standards?
No, I think we've pretty much said and done it all. By now.
Okay, that's
good. My one standard is don't make it easily trippable by YouTube's content filtering system.
Yeah, like, that was my fault.
Okay, so you want something a bit
didn't
more...
Didn't we get banned in Germany, one of our episodes for something?
Several of our episodes, and I think it was Germany, or was it Italy.
The most obscure podcast in the world is still getting banned.
Well, it's because YouTube, they found the music, and they're like, Germany... Whoever owns this music in Germany doesn't want it played in Germany. And that basically happened last week with the two songs Stealth chose, but this time
actually,
in America.
I think I know which song was it, which is weird.
It must have been the... They Must Be Giants song, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It should be the title of this week's podcast, Banned in Germany.
Because that is an old song that came out like in the mid-80s. I had a problem with that, but
wow.
Not
there
with
you
the
go,
new
Index.
One.
Well, I've been saying for a while now how WMG, Warner Music Group, is not with it when it comes to YouTube, and I think Ryan, and it might have been Stealth too, when I brought it up last summer on one of the episodes, they're like, oh, it doesn't matter, but surprise, it matters. Yeah. Oh, look at all this gunk in my mouse wheel, ugh.
That was random.
I should have gotten a new mouse in addition to this keyboard I got.
I have a new mouse. I like
it. You have a mouse wheel? You don't have a fancy-dancy laser mouse? What the hell is wrong with you?
No, the mouse
the
scroll
wheel.
The scroll wheel.
Oh, okay.
Stealth. Steph. You... I can't think of a good insult. I'll think of one and then I'll post it.
You woman.
I remember ball mice. God. That was fun. Every now and then, you just have to go and open it up and clean all the crap out of the rollers.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the thing wouldn't work. It would just, like, go vertically and never move horizontally.
Or you would drop your mouse and the ball would roll under the desk.
Yeah. Or you had one of those reverse mice that had, like, the ball on top and you had to, like, swivel it.
Those were the worst idea ever.
I had one of those.
The only thing worse than that is the touchpad on a laptop. I actually do you remember some laptops had those like buttons in the middle of the keyboard that you would move around.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And
that.
I actually liked those a lot better than touchpads, but they never really caught on as much as touchpads did.
Hmm. So Stealth, you're claiming the ending song?
I guess so.
Alrighty, I think that about wraps it up then. Thank you everybody, especially newcomer Sean, aka Darth, on the forum.
Yeah, nice being here. No, it was actually pretty interesting. I got to hear a few things that I wasn't expecting.
Steph,
if the Doctor Who didn't get him, nothing will.
Yeah.
Sadly, Spooey had leprosy or something, so he couldn't be a part of the Doctor podcast.
No, he just had like HIV or something. He's
coughing up his lung.
Get the herb. anyways, thank you